Well, Happy New Year. You know, it's at this time of year that it's different than any other time of year for us, isn't it? Because see, it's at this time of year that we end up taking this quick inventory of our lives, and we end up starting to think about, hey, what are the possibilities? What could life be like? That what we do is we begin to identify some things in our life that we think that we'd like to see better, we'd like to see improved, things that we want to be different. And what we end up doing is we end up setting a finish line. That we end up setting a finish line. We say, hey, that's where I want to end up. That's where I want to be. When you start looking at what usually happens about this time of year, you start seeing the history of the type of finish lines that people put out there. In fact, you probably could guess the number one finish line, the number one goal that people say, that's where I want to end up at this time of year, what people set for what they want their finish line to be, and it is to lose what? It's to lose weight, and it's the number one. It gets more traction than anything else, at least verbally, and at least in thought, you know, that it does. When you start looking at it and start seeing, okay, well, what are some other finish lines? What are some other things that people are identifying, and they're saying, that's where I want to end up? That a third of finish lines established at this time of year when we start thinking about, hey, what could be, is that they are relationship-based. That we start thinking and identifying where we want to be relationally. Whether it's somebody that's single and they're going, this is the year I want to find somebody. Whether it's somebody that they're going, you know what, I had a really difficult year last year relationally. Whether it was a close friendship, whether it was a romantic relationship, whether it was a marriage. And they're going, I want this year to be different. I want to work on this relationship. And that's the finish line, is to have a better relationship. And for many, that when it comes to relational conflict, that many, they don't know how to deal with relational conflict, and so it becomes very hard and difficult on that relationship. And so they're going, hey, I want to be able to work past and work through the conflict. One of those things, finish lines, that makes it top 10 every year, when you start looking and seeing what are these different finish lines, where people want to go, one of the ones that makes it in the top 10 every year, it is to spend less money. That people go, you know what, this is the year I'm going to get it under control. This is the year I'm going to spend less than what I make. This is the year that I'm going to start making some progress and some headway on things I've already acquired. I'm just going to work on paying things off instead of acquiring things that I still will end up having to pay on. But see, these are some of these different finish lines that get put in place when we get to this time of year. And so we're going to talk about 2020 vision. And we're going to spend some weeks on this, sharing this idea. And the idea of 2020 vision, the idea behind that, it's twofold. That one is, I'd like for us to think a little differently when it comes to at the beginning of the year than what we normally do. Because most of us, if we do anything, we start thinking about, hey, what do I want this year to be? What do I want to accomplish this year? And I want to challenge you to have a bigger dream, a bigger goal, a finish line that's going to take more than just 2019 for you to get there. And so I want you to think in terms of, you know what, if I had 2 years, 2 years to work on the person that I really want to become, what would that finish line look like? That not just 2019, but 2020, if I had all the way through 2020. The other is that to play off of this is what I want to do is I want us to think in terms of clarity. That what if we really could have this vision, 2020 vision. I don't know what that's like because I don't see 2020, okay? Because I just have eye issues and it's just not a reality for me. But when we think about our lives and think about these goals and think about a finish line of where we want to end up, what if we could see very clearly? What if we could identify super clearly, crystal clear, that's my finish line. That's where I want to end up. Because I think if we could see that clearly, instead of just kind of slowly moving and drifting through life, that if we could have a very clear vision for our lives, that we could see that's where I want to end up, that's where I want to be, that is 2020 vision. There is a professional athlete. Her name is Heather Kampf. And Heather Kampf, she is a mid-distance runner. And this mid-distance runner, she is somebody that she has won 4 USA championships. She is an Olympian, but she's done other competitions as well. And in 2008, She was running in a race, and this race she was running in, she was running in the Big Ten Indoor Track Championship, and she was running the 600-meter race. And as she was running it, this was the championship round. And she's running it. She's got her pace going, and she does the first lap of 200 meters. She does the second lap, and she gets near the end of completing that 400-meter mark. And she trips, and she just falls flat out on her face in a championship run. So that was back in 2008. And I think that there are going to be some people that are in this room today that you're going, that sounds a lot like my 2018. That my 2018, I fell flat on my face. That 2018, that was a difficult year. That for some of you, you couldn't wait until 2019 because you just needed a fresh start. Because you know what it's like to just be laid out and just feel hopeless. Heather Camp, she certainly experienced that. But what she did was she got back up. That what she did was she continued the race. That what Heather did is she realized, you know what, I can still at least finish this race. And as she popped back up and she began to run, she didn't just move with a completion pace, because she's a professional athlete. And so she moved with a competition pace. And she had just barely 200 meters to catch back up. She was in second right when she tripped, getting ready to take first. And she popped back up and she just began to run. And Heather Camp didn't just finish that race, she won that race. That she pushed through the pain. She understood what it meant to give it her all. And she did, and she gave it her all, and she won that race. Listen, if 2018 was a difficult year for you, then I want you to write something down. I want you to be able to look at this. I want you to be able to remember this. I want you to be able to process this as you even think about your finish line that you're going to end up establishing. But this is what you need to know. That a setback is a setup for a comeback. That if you've had a difficult year, a setback is just a setup for a comeback, and you could have a comeback year. That you don't have to be discouraged in 2019. And what you need is you need a vision, a 2020 vision. And we need to see where we're going to end up. That if we're going to have a comeback, we have to have a finish line. We have to know, where is it that I'm headed? Where is it that I'm going? And we have to be able to see it. And we need to be able to see a finish line that we set out there, that we don't have to go grab some binoculars to try to hunt and look for it. It needs to be in sight. We need to be able to go, I see my finish line. And that we can move toward that finish line. That you might be here today because you're going, you know what, for me, that it's a new year and I'm looking to make a new start. That there might be some of you here today that it's been a very long time since you've been in a church. That for you, you could say, yeah, church has been part of my past. But this year, I want to make church part of my present. That there's some, I think, that they think that you might be here and you might be going, I'm just hoping. I'm just hoping that God's going to take a chance on me. I'm going to take a chance on God. And I'm just hoping that God's going to take a chance on me. And I've got some good news for you if that's what you're thinking. Because God has already taken a chance on you. That God took a chance on you when he sent Jesus, his son, to come here. To live here, to share the truth about who God is. To live his life sacrificially, to lay his life down, to give his life. To be able to pay for your sins, my sins. See, God did all of this because
He does. He has hope in you. God has taken a chance on you. And that is great news for us. What I love about the start of a new year is this is the time when we start thinking, I can. And we start thinking about some of these different things in life that we go, you know, I can. And we think about what we can do. And then that I think I can turns into I want to. And it's no longer just a thought of I think I can, but it's more for us that we start growing that to a place of, hey, I want to. And we get to this place where we go, and I want to be better. And I want this to be the best year I've ever had. And we start thinking these kinds of thoughts. But let me share with you. You won't have a flourishing life with a floundering vision. You just won't. That if you just kind of go lackadaisically through life, you're not going to have a flourishing life with a floundering vision. That for us, when we think about it, that we're not going to have a compelling life with a cloudy vision. We're not going to have a breakthrough life with a boring vision. That when we think about it, that we're not going to have a legacy-worthy life with a limited, lethargical vision. And so if that's what we want to have, if we want to have a compelling life, a breakthrough life, a legacy-worthy life, then we need to have a great vision, and that great vision is going to establish our finish line. Where is it that we want to finish? Listen, life is multifaceted. It's multifaceted, and so when we look at our life, our life isn't made up of just our family. That our life isn't made up of just our friends. It's not made up of just our hobbies or just our work. That it is multifaceted. There's so many different facets and components to our life. That when we look at it and we think through it, that our life, it's spiritual, it's intellectual, it's emotional, it's physical, that it's marital, it's parental, it's financial. I mean, we've got so many different facets to our life. And what we need is we need a finish line that understands that we've got all of these different facets in life, and that we've got a finish line that we want to get to. And it needs to involve all of these, and that we need to integrate and see very clearly this 2020 vision to know what our finish line is going to look like. That your vision for your life should push you to reach for a worthwhile finish line. Think about it. That your vision for your life, it should push you to reach for a worthwhile finish line. That if you want to achieve something that you're not currently achieving, if you want to reach something that you're not currently reaching, then you're going to have to push yourself to get there. That it takes this inner hunger, this inner drive, to push us to the finish line when it's easier to quit. Because it really is so easy to quit. That it's easier to quit your education. It's easier to quit your relationship. It's easier to quit your job. It's so much easier to just quit and walk away than it is to push through the pain to get to the finish line. And so if we're going to have a finish line that we're going to push through the pain to get to, then we need to have a worthwhile vision. We need to have a worthwhile finish line. That we live at a time that for many, delayed gratification, it just means that it is instant desertion, right? I want to sit down and do. Oh, how long is that going to take? I don't think so. I'm done. And we instantly desert things that we look at and say, "Oh, I can't have that right now." But see, a finish line that's worthwhile, a vision for your life that's worthwhile, you're not going to get instant gratification, but you're going to get some pain, and you're going to have to push through that to get there and to arrive. I think that Jesus is the greatest model that there is for looking at pushing through the pain for a delayed gratification. Because see, when Jesus gave his life on the cross and he suffered and died for us, he didn't just die for us, he suffered and he died for us. That when he did that, on one hand, he got some instant gratification of in that moment of pleasing his heavenly Father. But then there was the delayed gratification of the people who would come back to their heavenly Father. That their sin that broke that relationship, that they would come back to their heavenly Father, and that he is the one who made the way for it. It's a delayed gratification, and he is still receiving the gratification today from what he did over 2,000 years ago. And we already have at our disposal what we need to have a better life. That we have this at our disposal. That God has already provided us with the things that we need to have a better life. So what has he provided us with? Well, he's provided us with food that sustains us. He's provided us with a shelter that covers us. He's provided us with oxygen that we need to breathe. He's provided us with relationships. He's provided us with purpose. He's provided us with hope for eternity. He's provided us with his word, the Bible, that gives us instruction, this instruction manual for life. He has provided for us. We already have at our disposal what we need to have a better life. We just must begin using these tools that have been provided for us, that he's provided for us, that our sins can be forgiven. Because of what Jesus has done for us. But you see, we still need a compelling vision in order for us to push through the pain that we're going to experience throughout this life. We need a finish line that's worthwhile, that's worthy of us pushing past the pain, that's worthy of us pushing ourselves when we want to just quit. So I want us to look at how to set your finish line. That there's four things I want to share with you about how to set your finish line. That when you think about having a 2020 vision, that this vision that's really worthwhile, how is it that we set our finish line? So the first thing is publicly declare your finish line. Don't keep it private. Don't just kind of say to yourself, yeah, that's what I'm going to do, but I don't want to tell anybody in case I fail. No, no. You're going to publicly declare your finish line. What are these things that you know that you're aiming for, you're striving for, that you want to do, that you want to be, that you want to become? And you publicly declare them. The reason that's so important is because most of us quit things that we privately commit to. That when we just privately commit, we don't want to tell, we just end up quitting because, see, we don't let anybody else down and they don't see that we're not accomplishing. And so publicly declare your finish line. I want to share with you in 2 Timothy, when we look in this book of our Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 4, we'll start in verse 6. Timothy is somebody who he was discipled by another guy, somebody else poured into him to grow him into his faith when he was young. And that person was the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul is responsible for writing almost half of our New Testament and just making such a major, major headway movement just a few years after Jesus gave his life. And so here's Timothy. And he's saying this. He's near the end of his life. He says, as for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. And then look at this. He says, I have fought the good fight. He's talking about that he's pushed hard to be able to get to this place, this finish line, that it's been a fight. He's fought this good fight. He says, I have finished the race. That he set that finish line and he's looking at it and says, hey, I'm near the end. I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have remained faithful. See, for Timothy, he set that finish line out there, and that finish line that he set is he said, I want to be true to God. I want to be faithful to him. I want to live out my purpose that God has put on my life. That was his finish line. And here he is near the end of his life, and he's writing this. And he's able to say, I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I've remained faithful. Verse 8, and now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. I imagine that Timothy made it very clear to the people that he kept pouring into and investing into what it is that his finish line was and how he wanted to stay true to his Heavenly Father, true to his Savior, publicly declaring the finish line of doing that. That if you don't declare a finish line, you are more likely to never reach it. That not just deciding it, but declaring it, letting it be known, sharing with others. That you set the finish line publicly. And maybe a public way for you to do that, I'm not a social media guy, but maybe you are, and maybe that's just one of the places you need to turn to declare your finish line, that after you've taken some time to really think about and understand, what's my finish line? Well, I want 2020 vision. I want to see my finish line, and that you would publicly declare that. Maybe you're not going to do it social media. Maybe you're just going to share it with some family and some friends that this is what I'm working for. This is what I'm striving for. This is what I want to do. This is what I want to become. This is what I want to be. But you would share that. For me, this is a technique that I have used often. I can go back all the way to when I was 16 years old. And when I was 16 years old, I decided for myself that I was going to stay a virgin until I married. But I publicly began to share that with people. Kind of weird and freaky because people were like going. But those people that were giving me that look back then would celebrate the decision that I made and that I was successful of getting to that finish line almost 25 years ago when I married my beautiful bride. That was something that I set out there and made it public. It's not the only thing. Listen, this Tuesday, Cheryl and I are going to celebrate 25 years of marriage. Yeah. And I know that applause is for her putting up with me. So we are. We're to celebrate that. And here's something else that I've just put out there, and I do it kind of jokingly, and I've shared this, and I shared it from right when we were going into sharing our vows and exchanging our vows with each other, and I've shared it since. And I say it, and it's a little tongue-in-cheek, but it's, again, it's just this public declaration that I tell people that, you know, yeah, when Cheryl and I got married, we did a 50-year contract. And she's like, only 50 years, you know? And I'm like, hey, we have an option to renew. But it's just one of those things that I just put out there because, see, most people go into this whole marriage thing and they say, oh, that's my vow, and I'm just going to stay with it, you know? But we have so many marriages that don't make it. And so it's just a different way to put that out there and share that I'm publicly declaring that I'm going to do whatever I can to make sure she puts up with me for 50 years. That's where we're going. And then there's an option to renew, and we both have already decided we're just going to renew. It's already known. And that's what we're going to do. And this publicly declaring, it becomes so important to us. That some of you guys know me and have had some different financial conversations with me. And you know that my story is, hey, we do rental property and I've got 4.5. And that's kind of a long story for half. But we have a goal that we want to have 10 properties. And I share that with people. And another goal that I share is not only do I have that, but I tell people and I share it out loud. I say, I want to have 10 paid 4 rental properties by the time I'm 68. That is a goal. I publicly declare that because for me, it's about holding me accountable. When I say that and put that out there, I know people are going to be going, well, how you doing with that? And I don't want to drop my head, and I want to know that I'm going to be working hard to it. So publicly declare your finish line. Second one, personally involve others. That when you set your finish line, you need to personally involve others. The reason this becomes so important is because there are going to be times that it is going to be too painful to keep moving toward your finish line. And in that pain, you're just going to want to give up. And you're not going to be able to push yourself. And you need to involve others so that somebody else is going to get behind you and keep pushing you toward your declared finish line. We can read in Ecclesiastes, this is in our Old Testament. This is written by a guy named Solomon, who was known as the wisest person during the whole Old Testament, whole pre-Christ. He is the wisest guy that ever lived. And this is what he shared in Ecclesiastes. We'll start in chapter 4, verse 9. He says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. That involve others. That two people are better than one. They can help each other succeed. Verse 10, if one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how could one be warm alone? So the point in picking a finish line is to pick a finish line that's going to be difficult for you to achieve on your own. That if you just kind of pick a finish line that you're just going to kind of slowly wander around and all of a sudden, oh, wow, I'm here. That's not a worthwhile finish line. The point of seeing clearly, having this 20/20 vision, is going, that is a place that I really want to get to, and I'm not going to get there unless I focus on it. Unless I'm willing to put some blood, some sweat, and some tears. There's going to be some heartache at times, but that's where I know I want to be. The point is to pick a finish line that you can't easily get to on your own. And so it's not enough to publicly declare it. You need to involve others. That we need to involve them. And the reason it's so important to involve others, and I'm talking about closely involving others, is because we're not the best at always being honest. We just aren't. And we don't call it dishonesty. We just refer to it as pretending. And we go throughout life and we just pretend. Do we pretend that, oh yeah, my marriage is great? We pretend that this parenting thing, oh yeah, it's great and it's so rewarding. Do we go through life and we pretend and we pretend that our finances are good? We pretend that our careers couldn't be better? That we get so comfortable pretending. We pretend that we're not insecure. We pretend that the temptations really aren't that tempting. We just pretend. And so what we need is we need to involve others. We need to involve others. We're going to let get really close to us. Listen, I think one of the reasons that Cheryl and I are able to celebrate 25 years on Tuesday is because I have an accountability partner. That I have somebody that I meet with almost weekly, and that we get in each other's faces and we ask each other some very tough questions. And one of the things that we ask every time we get together is, how's your marriage? And the purpose of our meeting is to be honest and real. See, we pretend, but you know what? Scales don't lie. We'll pretend, but scales don't lie. And when you have an accountability partner, that's somebody that's putting a scale in front of you and saying, step on it. And let me see how you're doing. And then let's talk about it. I'll tell you that 9-ish years ago, Cheryl and I went through a very difficult, struggling part of our marriage. What? You're the pastor. Yeah. It was difficult. It was dark. It wasn't because one of us wasn't being faithful or one of us had met somebody or one of us is doing something. It wasn't any of that. What happened is that we just slowly drifted. And we weren't close anymore. And then we started nagging on each other and irritating each other. And it just wasn't, home wasn't a good place to be for our marriage. So one day, one of us finally just spoke up and said, I can't do this anymore. And this wasn't an invitation to talk about what do we need to do to split. This, saying I can't do this anymore, was this isn't what I signed up for. And I'm ready to get back to what I signed up for. And through that, I actually said to Cheryl, I said, Cheryl, would you be okay with, and I mentioned somebody who goes here, would you be okay with this particular gentleman? Would you be okay of talking to him whenever I'm doing something that I'm not treating you the way that you need to be treated? And that you would tell him because he will get in my face. Because my accountability partner is somebody that she really doesn't have a relationship with. She doesn't really know him and doesn't interact with him. But this was somebody that she absolutely trusted. And we both have high, high respect for him and his marriage. And so she said yes. And so then I reached out. I called him and asked him, told him what was going on. And he said yes. And he would be glad to do that. And then he said, hey, you ever think about going on a marriage retreat? And we ended up going on a marriage retreat, both couples. And it was just so rewarding. But it was one of those things that I said, hey, I've got to involve some others. Because there's a finish line. And the finish line that we have is we're on a 50-year contract with an option to renew. And we're going to get there. Third thing is how to set your finish line is control your training. You got to control your training. That training is something that you must do because the results that you want won't come before the training. I know it's so simple, right? But you need to grasp that the results that you want won't come before the training. And there is a huge difference between trying and training. So what, you know what trying is? Trying is, hey, yeah, I tried it once, I tried it twice, and then you give up. That's trying. We got a lot of people that they've tried marriage. We got a lot of people that they've tried to be involved parents. We got a lot of people that they've tried a career. We need training, not just trying. Because what training is this thing that we just keep doing over and over and over again. And it's just giving our best efforts repeatedly. That's training. That's training. Paul wrote this, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25. All athletes are disciplined in their training. All of them. That Heather Camp, that day that she fell, the reason that she was able to get back up so quickly and begin to run and run to win wasn't because she was trying to decide in that moment, do I think I should I try? I think she had decided long ago, before she ever decided to be an athlete that was going to be competing at this level, is I'm running to win. She had made up her mind. And so she trained to win. And so when she fell, she got back up to win. Paul says all athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that'll fade away. But we do it for an eternal prize. That we train spiritually. That's why you're here. You're here and you're training spiritually. We do it to get this prize, this eternal prize. And marriages, that they need more training than trying. That budgets, they need more training than trying. That our faith, it needs more training than trying. We must train. 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 That you can't control all the results. But you can control the training. Last one. Rediscover giving it your all. Rediscover this. Rediscover what it means. Paul went on to say, verse 26, he said, so I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. He's not just kind of toying around. He runs with purpose in every step. The majority of people, when they hit their wall of whatever it is that they're doing, and they hit that wall and they go, I just can't go on. The majority of people hit their wall at 40%. They don't hit it at 100. They hit it at 40. And I think that when we look back at Heather, that here is an athlete that gave it her all. And she reached the finish line with her initial goal of finish to win. And so one of the things that Jesus was asked one day, he was asked, what's the greatest commandment? And so he answered and he said this. He said, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. That is the greatest commandment. And then without pausing, he said, and the second is equally important. They didn't ask what the second one was, but he said, the second is equally important. And the second one is to love your neighbor as yourself. That when you look at that and you sum it all together, it's to love God and to love people. That should be part of our finish line, that we know when we've got 2020, that we are going to be loving God and loving people with everything that we're going to be doing. But unfortunately, there's some people that they just use God and just use people. And that ends up leading to that people just abandon God and people abandon other people. And so we need to really understand and weave in what the greatest and the second greatest commandment is when we think about having a 2020 vision for our life. That we need a better vision so that we are working and pushing ourselves to be all that God has created us to be. That what I want you to think about is I want you to think about that progress is possible. And for those of you guys that are going to publicly declare and you're going to use social media and start pushing out this vision, this finish line for your life, just tag it with hashtag progress is possible. See, it's going to keep the naysayers in your life from going, oh, you're never going to do it. You can't complete that. Progress is possible. And let's have a 2020 vision that is worth pushing through the pain to get there. So our band's going to come back out, and we're going to sing a couple of songs. And through these couple of songs, we're going to be loving on God and loving him through song. And it's our way of inviting him. God, will you help me to see a 2020 vision of who it is that you want me to be? What would my life be like 2 years from now that if I were to push through the pain and I could identify that finish line, who and what do you want me to be? Pray with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are a God, that you have purpose for us. I thank you that you're a God, that you believe in us and you've taken a chance on us. And God, I pray that we wouldn't be people that we would waste this life away. That we wouldn't flounder it. Instead, that we would have a flourishing vision and we would have a flourishing life. I pray that you'd help those that just feel like they're falling flat out on their face right now. I pray that you would help them to get back up on their feet, to establish a worthwhile finish line, one that's multifaceted, that certainly involves who they are spiritually and emotionally, physically and relationally, and identify that finish line and not just run at a pace that's just about, hey, I'm just going to complete it, but to run at a pace that's going, hey, I want to compete to get there and get to that finish line, because then I'm going to be ready to train for my next one. Jesus, it's in your name we pray. Amen.